Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Well, Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central, formerly sports columnist, now the professor. She's in Dallas, or Austin. Is it Austin, Eric? Have you talked to Paul about that?
No. I'm glad you told me that, because I would have called her at ASU on her office line. She is not in Phoenix.
The Women's Sports Media event, which is in Austin, I believe. But I could be wrong. She'll be back. She may be back already from that. But very much looking forward to having Paula with us, our weekly segment, as she has moved on from AZ Central, for those of you not aware. The weekend was, you know, on a sports end, I'm getting guys that are saying, Brad, do you think LeBron is better than Michael? And guys, all I know is Cleveland made a mockery of the regular season of the NBA. We have been saying this, that they just coasted through. They took games off. They took time off. It's becoming this really hard deal with the NBA. The players don't want to be out there for all these games. And is it really a whole bunch of games when you're flying private? Yeah, I get the back-to-back stuff. But whenever there was this, there's stuff going on with Cleveland. And when it would get to the point of Tristan Thompson dating a Kardashian, making the sports side, that's when you knew it was just over the top. So what has Cleveland done here in the postseason? They've just simply shown up, they flip the switch, and they roll. I think trying to compare LeBron and Michael, to me, having seen both players, getting to that highest level, the whole idea of the Warriors and Cavaliers meeting for the third consecutive year, that, by the way, has never happened in the history of the NBA. It has never been a three-time same finals matchup. But it's very clear that's what's going to happen. That is what is going to happen. You may be a Celtics fan. You're not even as good as Washington. You may be a fan of the Spurs. Yeah, there is still Greg Popovich coaching over there, but you don't have Tony Parker. Houston today lost Nene. That's a big physical presence inside. And both the Spurs and Houston are exerting a ton of energy while Golden State's just moseying right through Utah.
The sad part is, Brad, the Warriors are treating the Jazz like the JV team. I mean, the Jazz are playing so well, and they're still, you know, down consistently by 10, 12 points. And they'll make a run, and then they'll get even, and then Durant and Curry will just take over.
And this is without Steve Kerr.
Yep.
This is without Durant being at 100%.
But he was great Saturday.
Oh, Saturday night. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh. He's sitting there talking to the fan.
Yeah,
you know?
He told the mascot to F off, and that was caught on ESPN.
Yeah.
Like the little Sasquatch mascot.
Yeah.
And they had the camera on the close-up, and yeah, bad look. But, you know, that's what happens. There are 55 cameras inside an arena.
But I think Cleveland's a bad look, because they just jerked around with the regular season. These poor fans that get all excited to go watch LeBron play, and then he doesn't, or he takes minutes. I shouldn't say he. Tyronn Lue holds him out. The idea that he's a better player than Michael Jordan, it's a different era, different rules, different subset of players around him, different travel schedule. There was not nearly as much media as there is now. I think there's an overexposure side to LeBron versus Michael myself. I myself like watching Michael play. He's more of a fluid player to me than LeBron. That's just my personal preference. You may disagree with me. It's fine. I'm also one of those guys who prefer watching Kobe over LeBron. I would much rather see LeBron catch balls for the Browns as a wide receiver and play basketball, because he's such a physical presence versus those other two guys. They couldn't do other sports. There's no way. If we're just talking about an athlete, then LeBron wins every day of every week of every year, hands down, as an athlete. But he's not as fluid and graceful to watch as Michael Jordan was. Anybody who says that, I think, is just fooling themselves. He's not nearly as graceful as Kobe Bryant. I think the good news here, if you're a fan of the NBA, is that Cleveland, like Toronto, total stop. We're going to get PJ Tucker. He's going to help us against LeBron in the postseason. No, that didn't work. We've got all these guys that are getting better. No, you didn't even come close. You didn't even sniff a victory in that series. It was as though they've been off anyways. Like, who's watching Toronto and Cleveland thinking that's going to be a playoff series? I don't know if you guys have watched Washington or not, but Washington is the second best team in the Eastern Conference. And Washington, there's so many Suns angles there. Again, it just speaks to, like, Bogdanovich is playing well for Washington. Bogdanovich was a guy that was taken here. They couldn't get here, so they finally moved along from him. And what do you know? He's playing well. Keefe is Keefe. I hear people in Washington calling him Keefe or read about it. I didn't want him here anymore. You didn't want him here anymore. But what do you know? He's playing well back there. Isaiah Thomas is, again, just an amazing weekend. You know, the whole thing with his sister, and then you see Patrick Beverley lose his grandfather, and Patrick Beverley just is overcome with emotion last night, and he's trying to play through it. I mean, you've got two high-end NBA players. Isaiah Thomas is putting up 50, and he's got his sister who's killed a couple of weeks ago, and he's just playing. It's really phenomenal to see the effort and the focus of those two players. Patrick Beverley is one of the better defensive guys out there. So the playoffs have been, on one hand, a snooze fest because the Cavaliers have rolled. They have not lost a game. And now the Warriors, they see what the Cavaliers are doing. Okay, you can do that. I can do that. So you expect them to sweep Utah out and they move on. And then you have San Antonio and Houston that are tied at 2. They're going to exert a ton of energy. The Warriors are going to be sitting around for a week. Cleveland's going to be sitting around for the week while Washington and Boston exert a ton of energy. And that's those two series, you would think, would just be walkovers. And we would be left again with Cleveland and Golden State to nobody's surprise. But it would potentially be the best of these series, because it's the most current one, obviously, one. But two, neither team has really, they've had so much time off. I mean, does that make sense when you just go through these series and you get a week off and you're Cleveland? I wouldn't be surprised at all to see pictures of LeBron down in Atlantis laying out under an umbrella. Seriously, do you think he's going to go back in the gym and grind for 3 hours? Heck no. He's taking care of his body. There's no reason for him to grind. It doesn't matter. Do you think LeBron cares if it's Boston or Washington? I'm sure there's something in the back of his head saying, you know what? I think I'd do better against Washington. I think I could take John Wall and chew him up and spit him out. Or Kyrie could do that to him versus us against Boston. Boston's not a great team top to bottom. If you look at the roster of Boston versus the roster of Washington, it's not even close.
So how does Adam Silver put a big lasso around what's going on in the NBA? Because clearly you see the Warriors and you see the Cavaliers, and especially for Cleveland, they were just coasting all through the regular season.
They didn't care.
And now we're in the playoffs, and it's just like turning on the power on high.
It's embarrassing for these rights holders, too, that if it's a Saturday night game and three of their starters are held out, that's one thing. But during the week when, like ESPN is trying to fill programming with Cavaliers have lost 3 in a row, here's Brian Windhorst to fill a segment, and he's probably thinking in the back of his head, they just don't care. This is not a story. Why am I even on here filling a segment? It's some producer who called me because we got to put content on the air.
Well, especially around the Cavs. Cavs and Warriors. I mean, just find an angle, something, anything.
Anything.
Is it good for the NBA that these two teams are probably going to meet most likely for the third straight time in the finals?
Sure. I'm interested. Most people I know are interested. I'm not the biggest. If we put Eddie Johnson on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all I said to EJ was, there are people that don't like LeBron James. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I could just sit here and just, and he would go through a 20-minute dissertation without taking a breath.
My favorite EJ quote about LeBron, appreciate the greatness. Like, he's been saying that for years and years and years with you on this show. Just take time to appreciate his greatness.
He went through his 11th career sweep over Toronto.
And you're right, the games were just not competitive.
They were competitive. No. They weren't even interesting. And he scored 35 a game in each one of the games. So Is it good for the game? Sure, because Steph Curry is sitting out there this year without being the number one guy. Kevin Durant is the number one guy. Let's not kid ourselves here.
And you've got star power at the top with Durant, LeBron, Curry, Kyrie, Klay Thompson. Draymond.
You also have this, yeah, I mean, Draymond's going to say things, and he's going to get in fights, and him and Tristan Thompson will mix it up. I hate to make it sound so predictable, but it is predictable when these two teams get together what you're going to see. And then you have Steve Kerr. You know, the Steve Kerr story, part of me looks at Steve Kerr and says, I like Steve a lot. This isn't anything towards him. But for him, Mike Brown's coaching him in the first few rounds of the playoffs. Like, what's the difference here? We have Utah. We're not going to be challenged. Let's be straight about that. But the Steve Kerr spinal fluid leak. So they did a procedure to try to fix it on Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has not said that he's not going to come back to the team. Has there been any impact of Mike Brown in a negative way on Golden State to this point, or is it just simply they're playing teams that just aren't even close to them? I mean, Utah's got Joe Johnson. Utah's got some nice players on it, but Utah's not equipped to beat Golden State. Does Kerr come back? At some point, there should be something that comes out. The other interesting NBA story, and this is going to be a heavy couple of weeks around the NBA with the Suns. Tomorrow in Chicago is the start of the pre-draft lottery, and there's all these U of A guys that have walked out on Sean Miller. Chance Comanche said he's not coming back now, so he's out. You have these guys that just went there for 4 months and walked out, and they get eliminated, and nothing good happens for U of A other than they can say, oh, we sent these guys on to the NBA, whatever. There's that. The LeVar Ball story, I'm going to get into that later on. The shoes did come out. But the Kristaps Porzingis story caught my eye. So Porzingis is so good, and he tweeted Clippers on his Twitter feed, and then it was deleted. And then his PR people came out and says, well, I was hacked.
Of course.
I was hacked has become like the simplest way to get around of, it was a drunk text that I should have never sent, or I'm just really angry, and I sent it, and then the PR, the rep calls, agent calls, and says, what are you thinking? Okay, so I'm not buying I was hacked. Not buying it. Have I been hacked? Sure. Have you been hacked for, Eric?
No.
No? Okay.
You've been hacked?
I've been hacked, yeah.
No.
You don't believe the things I put on Twitter? I've been hacked.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
No, so let's just say for argument's sake that it was Porzingis, and I don't believe that he was hacked. And they put Clippers out there. Do the Suns have an asset, a valued asset, in the next 2 weeks, it's going to be defined, specifically a week from tomorrow when the lottery takes place? Yeah, they do. Do they have a valued asset that they could turn around and say, you know, we could take a guy whose dad is nuts with the shoes, even though the guy would transcend our organization. Could we turn around and trade that pick for if Porzingis is really that unhappy?
I'd trade any player on the roster for Porzingis.
Okay, so I bring this up because...
Anyone.
When this first came out, and it was even last week, there were several teams that called the Knicks about Porzingis and his unhappiness.
Reportedly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would I take that first pick, second pick, third pick, fifth pick, whatever it is, and say, you know what? Phil, you can have this draft pick. We would rather have an established veteran star presence than a player who may not be here in 4 years because his dad's trying to get him to L.A. Now, on our site, on Sports 360 AZ, I'm going to go down this real quick. Espo wrote a really good column, I thought, Friday about staying away from LeVar Ball, and it's the final straw on the cost of shoes and flip-flops and all that. And I took the exact opposite approach because I feel just exactly opposite of Espo. The Suns need Lonzo Ball here in the absolute worst way. Robert wants a new building. Robert's making gobs of dough. I get that. Robert doesn't have people coming to his games, and I've seen the TV ratings. They're not watching. How do you fix that? You bring Lonzo Ball here, and you immediately become a playoff team, and you immediately recapture the buzz, and you say to yourself, we're going to be able to convince Lonzo Ball to stay here 4 years from now, 5 years from now. We're not going to get caught up in the game of what daddy says is what goes. We're just not going to do that. So I would rather them draft Ball, but if push came to shove and I could get Porzingis for that pick, I'd go get Porzingis. That's me. I'd go that direction. All right, some Diamondbacks on the other side. Larry Scott says the world is not so bad in the Pac-12. I'm going to get into that. John Daly wins for the first time. We had a segment with Jimmy Vaccaro where he had the win total for the Cardinals in Vegas. It was stunning to both Eric and I. I'm going to recircle on that. And the Diamondbacks, that's all straight ahead. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Well, Paula Bovin here in a couple of minutes. There's a story over the weekend about a redshirt proposal in college football that I wanted to address here for a few minutes. We do a ton of college football here, our football show over on Fox Sports Arizona. We'll have Greg Byrne with us on the TV show tomorrow night. The former U of A athletic director just signed Nick Saban last week to a big contract. Greg has agreed to Skype in with us. We're very much looking forward to that because there's a lot to get to with him. He is now the power player in college athletics. A redshirt proposal for the bowl season. Stuart Mandel wrote this. And it goes on the basis of, with Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey skipping the bowl games, the American Football Coaches Association has now come out and is putting a proposal in front of the group that would allow coaches to play a player who is going through his redshirt year in up to four games a year. So think about this for a minute. Stud quarterback comes in. Stud quarterback has got a red shirt, but that stud quarterback's team ends up playing at Chase Field in whatever they call the Vizio. What's the name of the bowl game now down there? Downtown, Eric? I forget the name of it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It changes every year.
Yeah, it changes. So. The name of it. Let's just pick the Tax Slayer Bowl.
Okay. It was the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl.
Yeah.
It was the Inside Bowl. It's had several different sponsors.
But let's just say it's the Vegas Bowl. And you're in the Vegas Bowl, and you've had your redshirt quarterback, who's a flat stud. That kid would now be allowed to play in the bowl game, and it would not burn his redshirt year. You could play him in up to four games. Now, what's the advantage of that? Let's say it's the stud running back. Let's just use Alabama as an example. Alabama has a ton of very good running backs, but they're going to be in those games where they're crushing teams. 60-3, because they're playing like in the middle of November, the Northwestern Louisiana State game, which makes no sense, but it's actually the SEC looking for a competitive advantage. That's my own little rant. And you don't want to play your star players in those games because they may get hurt. So now you can take a red shirt and say, you know what, you're actually going to play in this game. By example, Arizona State could take Ryan Kelly when they play New Mexico State. And they're going to crush New Mexico State. And they could put Ryan Kelly out there in the fourth quarter this year in September if this were to pass. And he could go take a quarter's worth of snaps, and it would not impact his freshman or his redshirt year. He could do this up to four games. Now, is that 16 quarters of football? I don't know that. Is it four quarters of football? Is there a certain amount of quarters that you have to play and it impacts your redshirt year? But guys, think about this. For all the big-time freshmen, and they think they've got to sit out that first year, well, no, actually, you don't now. You could actually come here, and we're going to redshirt you, but we can pull that redshirt off. And when U of A plays NAU, and in all likelihood is crushing them, then said stud running back or said stud left tackle who are redshirting, we're going to get you some reps so we can see what you've got. I actually like this rule a little bit. I don't know how you overcome the McCaffrey and Fournette deal, but with all these bowl games – suddenly, if you're a coach, you can use those December practices. They always talk about this is going to give us more practice time, and it's going to be awesome for our program. Yeah, that sounds good, but the guys can't play. They're still in their redshirt year. Well, now you can burn that redshirt, not burn it, but you can take the redshirt off of them for a game, a bowl game, and they get more experience. I think this is very forward thinking. College football has to do that. Bowl games aren't the primary impetus behind this proposal that has garnered unanimous support at the AFCA's convention. So the season's getting longer. There were 15 games played by Alabama and Clemson this last year. 15. Think about that. I mean, this whole idea of kids breaking down in injuries, that's just an inordinate amount of games. So anyways, I like that story. Over on the Diamondbacks, they're starting to do this. And yesterday, David Peralta is in right field, and he's got his glasses on his hat. A ball's hit to him, and he goes back, and he loses the ball in the sun. Ball drops next to him. Taiwan Walker takes the loss. I don't know, dude. I know you said afterwards, what was this quote? I had my sunglasses on my head, but the sun wasn't hitting them right then. Okay, they're on there for a reason. Like, I don't know, flip them down. It's not that hard. Not that hard. When they were in Washington the other night, fly ball hit to Tomas out in left field, and he looked like he needed, a cricket device out there to try to whack it down, a lacrosse net, something, anything, a fork to stab it. Another bad play. Their outfield defense hasn't been good. So it's a bad road trip. I get it. Washington's the best team in baseball. I get that, especially in the National League. But they go 2-4 on the road. They're 2.5 back of the Rocks. Off today with the Dodgers now having caught the Diamondbacks.
And the Diamondbacks have interesting splits when you look at their home road hitting. I mean, they hit so much better at Chase this year than they do on the road.
In Colorado, they didn't do anything.
Yesterday, 2 runs. Saturday, 1 run. They scored 6 on Friday. They scored 2 on Thursday. 1 on Wednesday.
But, that's against Scherzer.
True.
But
this is a team that was just tearing the cover off the baseball the first 3 weeks of the season.
I understand that. Like, Goldschmidt wasn't good the first 3 weeks of the season.
No.
And then his average now is really good. I guess I'm more concerned with, I think the outfield defense has put them in some bad spots. You know, Friday night they brought Archie in, and he did great in the eighth. In the ninth, he couldn't get anybody out, so they had to bring Fernando in, and they had to go shoot the arrow. I mean, okay, fine. Go shoot the arrow. More often, I think the arrow's going to shoot you. They've got to face Verlander tomorrow with Detroit here. Detroit's here for 2.
Good pitching matchup. Robbie Ray going for the D-backs.
Yeah.
So.
And here's my point on this. They've got a 9-game homestand. They've got the Tigers, the Pirates, and the Mets. A, is there going to be any bump in attendance on these games because the team has gotten off to a good start? But B, they're starting to circle the drain just a little bit, and you can't just rely on the Greinke start. So I think it's big for them. Paula is next on the road in Austin, Texas. Paula Bovin, News and Notes on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now Paula Bovin, her weekly segment, The Professor. She is in Austin, Texas today. What are you doing there?
I am attending a convention called the Association of Women in Sports Media. It's a group that started about 30 years ago, just supporting sort of female sports journalists. And it's been amazing that people like Melissa Lutke, who had to sue Sports Illustrated to get into the locker rooms, to, Leslie Visser and Christine Brennan, some of the real pioneers in the business. So it's really been fun.
Are you speaking?
I am. I just did a session about transitioning from journalism to teaching. So,
and was it well received?
I think so. I think there are, because of the changes in our, the journalism business, I think there are a lot of questions. So I think there was some interest. I didn't put them to sleep. That's a good thing, Brad.
You didn't put them to sleep, but did you go through we're going to hear the gloom and doom because this media company over here with the letters ESPN got rid of 100 people, and this is not a time to tell people to get out of the industry, even though there's people that are in the industry saying, get out of the industry. You didn't go down that path.
No, that's exactly the conversation I had. I said, I have peers who will go speak to classes and say, what are you doing? Why are you getting into this business? It's crazy. I don't feel that way at all. I think there's always going to be a need for good storytelling and good reporting. I think the medium is going to look different. It's going through some cosmetic changes, but I am not the doom and gloom kind of person.
Let's get into some stuff then. So Larry Scott this last week said the Pac-12 is in good shape. And he was talking about their television contract. And, every time we see Larry, the words direct and TV are brought up within the first, 30 seconds or so. The changing landscape, to your point on where media is, do you feel like the Pac-12 is in good shape as the commissioner does? Or is that simply Larry Scott being Larry Scott?
I am more optimistic about the Pac-12 than a lot of my peers because I think people forgot what the conference used to be. The Pac-10 was, I mean, it was embarrassing, some of the TV contracts it had and didn't have, and there just was no growth. So I think in the sense of being a national player, having a big TV contract, the perception of the league and all those things, I think it's in good shape. Now, I think I know that there are a lot of athletic directors in the conference who feel like they are not generating the type of revenue from the TV contract that they thought they would. A lot of that has to do with, you know, some upfront costs they had to cover, putting in equipment, things like that.
Right.
And the whole DirecTV fiasco is indeed a fiasco, but you know, probably not as good as Larry says it is, but I certainly think it's far better off than the Pac, than the conference I used to know.
So I guess where I'm at on this one, Paula, is maybe Larry Scott knows something. Maybe Larry Scott is the visionary that deserved the big extension that he got at the Pac-12 basketball tournament. Because ESPN is now going through these layoffs and these cutbacks and getting rid of people. The rights fees numbers are going to drop here in a couple of years. And while the Big Ten and the SEC are talking about their $30 million to $40 million per school, which is $20 million more, does Larry Scott need to make that $20 million more, or can he sleep well at night knowing that he's not as tied down as some of these other conferences may be? Maybe in the long run, he's a smarter guy than we all gave him credit for.
You know, it's tough, Brad. It's kind of convoluted because we don't know sort of really what's ahead, and that's going to determine a lot of how we measure, you know, and the surface, some of these other contracts do look better. But you're right. I mean, I think it does kind of depend on how things play out and what they get stuck with and everything else. So I'm not down on him like a lot of people, but I still think, you know, when you hear some ADs grumbling in the conference, there's got to be a little something to that.
Sure. And we're going to talk to one of those former ADs tomorrow, Greg Byrne. He's going to Skype in with us from Alabama about how he's played at the Masters and give Nick Saban a ton of dough. So LeVar Ball, I'm trying to stay away from this one as much as possible, but I know that everybody's weighing in. I'm not under the mindset that I'm not going to draft Lonzo Ball because his dad has released Big Baller shoes. And I'm not of the mindset that because the flip-flops are $200, and if I'm the Suns, that I'm going to stay away from him because of that. My buddy Espo, who you know, has taken the tact of, now that these shoes have come out, that's the final straw. There's no chance I take Lonzo Ball, depending on what happens a week from tomorrow when the lottery balls come out. Where are you at right now on Lonzo Ball and the Suns with the dad involved?
It doesn't even cross my mind not to draft him. I get, you know, the dad's in his business and is a publicity hound, and, you know, it probably could be challenging to deal with. But I think we've talked about this before, Brad. I also remember Amari Stoudemire and his mom, and she presented some challenges to that organization. But you know what? They find ways to deal with it, and Lonzo Ball could bring a lot to the court. He's a smart kid. He's a great player. Yeah, his dad is annoying, but I think professional teams can manage that. And I love Espo, but I don't agree with him at all. I don't think that's a reason you don't draft the guy.
Yeah, Espo's a fool. So
he's a fool.
The lottery is a week from tomorrow, and it's now coming down to this because it's been such a dry wasteland here in our state for such an extended period of time for the local teams. This next week is going to be a landmark week. We might have the number one overall pick in Arizona to talk about to finally change the face of the basketball franchise. And there hasn't been that before. Are you looking forward to next week on this? Or is it just, you know what, Brad, as long as Robert is running the team, it's really hard to tell if they're going to get this thing turned around.
No, well, there's a little bit of that, Brad, I'll be honest, because if you look at the track record of this organization since his ownership, it has not been good. So there's that concern. But I also feel like the trajectory has been positive. I mean, I think, you know, I like some of the things they did this past season. The chance of getting a high draft pick can really change their fortunes. They need to continue to be smart. I'm not anti-Ryan McDonough. I don't understand the Isaiah Thomas thing. I'll never understand. I don't know whose voice that was or whatever in that organization. I mean, there have been some questionable decisions. But, no, I'm positive. I'll watch that lottery. I mean, it's kind of an important time right now for them.
Yeah, Bogdanovich, by the way, is playing well for Washington, along with Gortat, along with Markieff. And I didn't want Markieff here, but you know, you got to throw Bogdanovich in there too. We had our buddy Jimmy Vaccaro on last week, and Vegas has set the over-under on the Cardinals for wins at 8. That's not a lot in the NFC. And I think Eric and I both kind of looked at each other and kind of raised our eyebrows. Like, I'm thinking 9, maybe I'm not that far off, but does 8 seem about right for you?
No, I thought that was low. In fact, at one point I saw it was like 7.5. You know, do they have their issues? Yes, but they still have Carson Palmer. They still have Larry Fitzgerald. They still have a core of good defensive players, and I thought they drafted really well. And so, you know, I can look at their schedule and see 9 wins easy. I mean, you know, are they going to the Super Bowl? I don't think so, but I thought that was a low total for them, no question.
All right. Something else caught my eye with you. John Daly. I just say John Daly and you laugh. So people don't know the backstory of Paula and John Daly. And I'm not talking about a relationship or anything. I'm just talking about John Daly and you have zero going on Twitter. He's blocked you and he wins yesterday. It's funny whenever his name comes up that I think of you in this regard. So what's the story here with you and John Daly? What is going on here?
So let me preface this by saying I, as just a fan of sports, love John Daly, think he's great for golf, and I was very happy to see him when he was part of the tour. But one year when he was at the Phoenix Open and he had an exemption, I wrote a column to the effect of he like left the tournament early.
Yes.
Just wasted a really good opportunity, and I kind of ripped him for, you know, taking up a spot of somebody else who could be at that tournament. And his people, I don't know if it was him or his people, did not like that column and immediately blocked me. And periodically, just for fun, I check to see if I've been unblocked, but it still hasn't happened yet, Brad.
and did you ever hear from him or his people? They just blocked you and no explanation?
No, they just blocked me. I never
That's
heard
chicken.
From them.
So. I mean, at least explain it. Come on.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Anything else in your wheelhouse this week?
No, you know, I've been kind of all focused on this convention right now, Brad, which has been really fun, very inspiring.
Cool.
And, you know, I'm interested in the Diamondbacks and interested in sort of what direction they're going to head with this. So they've been on my radar.
As a professor to an adjunct, I need to talk to you off the air about a student. So there's something that's, yeah, it's pretty important. So I may reach out to you today at some point.
Yeah, please call me.
I'll do it. See you.
Okay.
Bye. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, formerly. Now just the professor, which is great. There's a couple things I want to get to on the other side. Cody Bellinger is one of those, and the Cardinals, and John Daly, and much more before we wrap things up. Sports360AZ.com. There's no Diamondbacks tonight. There is nothing going on tonight here in Phoenix that I can see. Is there anything that you can see tonight?
No, but I'll be watching the NBA playoffs, so...
Really?
Yeah. Sure.
Tonight?
Yeah.
I already laid out what's going to happen. Golden State's going to beat Utah, and they're going to be off.
I know. But the Warriors
go mow the lawn. You mow the lawn. You're a mow the lawn guy.
I did it on Saturday.
So you mowed the lawn.
Warriors are just fun to watch, even when you know they're going to win.
Read a book.
They're just fun
to
watch.
Get out for a night. Get out from underneath it. We're back with more after this timeout. All right, there's a few other things before we get out of here. On the entertainment side today, there's a lot on Twitter about Kelly and Ryan Seacrest. I just can't do that. Can't see it. Not into it. Richard Simmons showed up. Do you see Richard on the Today Show today?
I did not. I saw the tease, but I did not see
So he's gone missing. Like this whole thing of Richard Simmons going underground, he's no longer going to be out there helping people do their little workouts. And, you know, Richard Simmons was goofed on by lots of people.
How old is he now? It's got to be old, right?
There was a time. So Joe Garagiola Sr. and I were doing Diamondback games, and we were in an airport in Houston. I think we were a Houston Hobby. And we were walking through the airport, and this gaggle of people recognized Joe. And Joe, we used to carry around these baseball cards with him that were already pre-signed, so he would just pull them out and hand them to people. And there is a lot of people around Joe. And Joe's looking at me and kind of giving me the look of, can you help me get out of here? And I'm like a road grader, you know, hey, we got to go. You know, so I'm moving them through. And Joe off to the side sees this guy in his nylon running shorts and this little tank top with his hair everywhere, and it's Richard Simmons. Richard! Joe! So here's Richard Simmons and Joe Garagiola Sr. embracing in the airport with all these people while Joe trying to fiddle for these baseball cards that are signed and me trying to play road grader to get them apart. You good, Richard? Joe, I'm great. You look great. Joe. Richard, you look great. This is Mutual Admiration Society. And there's all these people. Now they're taking pictures.
I'm guessing that goes back to Joe's time doing the talk show circuits. That's where that...
I think so. I think
because
that
Richard Simmons is 68 years old now.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been 30 years ago, you know, that Joe was still doing that. And those two, it was very funny. And it was cool. You know, that's how it was traveling with Joe. We'd run into people, and it was like traveling with a member of the Beatles. It was just crazy. So there's that. Cody Bellinger is worth the price of admission. If we're talking about National League Rookies of the Year, if we're talking about baseball's actually in a pretty good space right now when you think about it. Mike Trout's 25. Chris Bryant's 25. Bryce Harper's 24, I think. Manny Machado's 24. If we're going through the next group of great young players. I know there's this whole narrative about how baseball is slow and millennials don't watch. I think it's just because we're in a bad baseball town for the last several years that people here in town just don't care. It's great. Now you have Cody Bellinger, who's from Hamilton High School. He hit a grand slam on Saturday night. The Dodgers have these great young players. It's not like the Diamondbacks don't have fun young guys to watch either. It's just they don't have somebody like Cody. Big strapping kid. Adrian Gonzalez goes on the DL. I'm not a Dodger fan, but it's great to see a kid like Cody Bellinger get it done. We've done some stuff on him on the site. Followed him around in spring training, and he's been great. And I'm very, very happy for him. And that's about it for today. That's pretty much everything that I got on my mind. So,
I have one quick update for you.
Yeah.
Because this will impact our summers.
Okay.
Okay. The Pac-12 conference,
yeah,
football,
right,
media days have been announced.
It's like July 28th, right?
July 26th and 27th in Hollywood.
Hollywood, does it say where in Hollywood?
Does not. I just saw it. Our friend SunDevilSource.com just tweeted out, so
the
dates are out.
I was aware of those dates from someone at ASU. I was more interested in the SEC media days because I do think we're going to go there. I think we're going to be able to pull that off in a bit of breaking news.
Nice. Those start in like a week and a half.
It's like the week after 4th of July. Seriously, it's like July 10th that we love going to Pac-12 football media days because there's a lot of you that are into that and you've seen us do it through the years. So I'm like, well, why don't we go to SEC? Because Christian Kirk is going to be one of the top players in the nation. That's just how it's going. And, you know, be around the whole circus with Nick Saban. We're going to have Greg Byrne on the show tomorrow. We're not going to become the SEC Network West. But so I started digging around on the dates on that, and it's like July 10th. And they do it for 4 straight days.
Very smart. Whoever, just somebody, so hopefully somebody got a raise and they said, why are we going to just cluster our
nothing else
conference
going
stuff
on
at the end of the month? We're going to put it, we're going to get it, we're going to be the lead dog because we are the lead dog in college football.
Although the ACC people would say no.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. We're done for the day. The Iron Man made it again. What do you think Jared Nielsen's streak is up to? It's like consecutive days.
Works a lot.
He's on this hitting streak.
Sometimes he comes in and he has like ice packs on him.
Oh, I know.
And he's drinking like a special protein shake thing.
He actually hinted around today briefly of needing a day off.
No.
I know. That's what I said.
He can be off on Saturday and Sunday. Those are his days off.
Thanks for being with us today. Eric produces, as always. Thanks to the people behind the scenes that make this happen. I want to thank our advertisers, our sponsors, the people that are with us. We are self-funded without your support. We don't do this, and we've been doing it for almost 6 years now. It's great to have people in the community that say we value what you do over at Sports 360. Head over to the website. There's lots of content. It's up there, Pro College, High School, College Pro. Thanks to AZ Central for their partnership. And for Fox Sports Arizona, too. We'll see you tomorrow.